Hey, Tiffany.
Hey, Kat.
I'm just going to jump right in here. So we've been talking a lot this season about growing your own fruits and vegetables, right? So one of the things we've talked about is how easy it is to have just more tomatoes than you could ever do anything with. So after trying to pawn all of that food off that you're growing, because you're going to grow too much. It's just inevitable. If you're going to grow any, it's too much. So after trying to pawn it off on your neighbors, coworkers, family, and friends, you've probably wondered, how could I store this? And you might have thought about home canning.
I have.
Have you tried it?
No, my grandma does it, and she's like a, and my aunt too. They're pros at it, but
Yeah, I
I
think.
am intimidated.
Well, you can, but at what cost?
Ooh, interesting.
Welcome to greening up my act. I know people who do can. I'm pretty sure one of my sisters does. And I think we kind of in our minds have it fixed on like homesteaders or like trad wives, traditional wives, you know,
Or grandmothers, yeah.
or grandmothers. People who've been doing it a long time, people who have a lot of time on their hands. Sorry, if you're not watching us on YouTube, Tiffany just played with a tuft of hair that's sticking out from her ponytail behind her headphones. It looks very cute. It's very
There it
rooster
is.
taily.
It is.
It's the joys of using a video. But
All right,
yeah.
exactly. Whole
So
new world.
I think having done this research, there's a reason for that, and we'll get into it.
Oh,
Yeah.
interesting.
Yeah. But first, I think perhaps could you introduce who we are?
Yes. So we are Greening Up My Act. Welcome. We are two marketing writers, and we are also, those are our, that's our day jobs, though.
Yeah.
That's not our whole souls,
No, we're
people.
also podcasters.
Well, yeah, did you know
I don't know
that? And we're humans who are trying to, yeah, did you know that
Shock.
too? Not robots.
Not robots or aliens.
Yeah, and we're trying to, just kind of see if we can live a little bit more sustainably and try to figure out what matters and what is just greenwashing or green hooey, as we call it, and use our marketing noggins to try to like see through the green hooey and help you see through the green hooey so you can kind of be out in the world and question things and be like, is this thing that says it's 100% biodegradable, like maybe not 100% biodegradable?
Yeah. Well, what does that even mean? Yeah.
And so, yeah, so that's who we are. I
Yeah.
can't think. Oh, and we're trying to figure out what's actually doable and which of these things actually make some sort of impact, and not to tell you what to do, but to give you the choice and figure
Yeah.
out what you can make work for yourselves.
Right. And
As
to, yeah. Yeah,
I was
as
just
we
gonna say,
try it
as
too.
yeah, I was gonna say, as we mentioned last episode, we're both drowning as humans, as individuals, so we have zero expectations for other people to be like perfect by any
Yeah,
means.
absolutely. But it's mostly just to kind of get these are questions we had, and we assumed some of our friends. I mean, sometimes it's questions I didn't even know I had, like biodegradable pots. I hadn't even considered what type would be useful. And we did that episode last week, and I was like, okay, that's something I might consider now. So,
Yeah, there's a specific type.
yeah,
Go
exactly.
listen if
Go
you
li
didn't.
yeah, 100%. Last week's episode. But also, you know, just doing kind of this research that you, it can be so overwhelming when you're just bombarded with marketing messages all day to really sit down and take time to look at it and be like, what does this mean? So
Yeah, and
we're
it's
trying.
intentionally misleading, so
Yes.
we're trying to
Marketing
help. We're trying to
often
help
is.
there.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, well, speaking of digging into the research, I know we're trying to keep it to five. I had one, two, three, four, five, six, seven sources
All right, you're
this
forgiven.
week, but most of them are just kind of. Anyway, I'm going to start listing my sources now. So this is where I looked to learn more about home canning. So the Clemson College of Agriculture, Forestry, and Life Sciences had a really in-depth article on canning foods at home. And then All Recipes, which is sometimes where I go to get, you know, cake or brownie recipes.
All recipes, yeah.
Yeah. Their title of this article was, "I was legitimately terrified to can my own food, but I just learned how, and you can too."
Interesting.
And I believe it had an exclamation point, which I wanted to make fun of. Oh, no, the next one did. The next one is from a company called Jar Store, which you can tell they're selling jars. So I just kind of included them, but why you should try canning your own vegetables at home, exclamation point. They're very invested in that. The Green Living Detective, which I thought was a cool name.
That is cool.
How green is it to can food at home?
Hmm.
They weren't terribly in-depth, but they did have some good points.
Okay.
And then a blogger, or a podcaster actually, named Melissa K. Norris, and she had a little quick article on, is home canning really worth it? And she gets a little in the weeds there about her own processes.
Okay.
But worth having. The CDC, now this is where we get into the real shit here.
Yeah.
This article is simply called Home Canning and Botulism. So that ought to tell you.
Holy shit.
And then I had one last little quip. The USDA had how long can you keep canned foods, which I think was important.
Yeah.
So the meat and potatoes here, which you can, but I'll tell you more about that in a moment. What is home canning? And I'm just going to quote straight from the Clemson University's College of Agricultural, Forestry, and Life Sciences article here. Canning food is just placing food in jars and heating it to a temperature that destroys microorganisms that could be a health hazard.
Okay.
So, yeah. Other methods of preserving food could be like freezing it, which is a possibility if you have certain vegetables and things, you can just freeze them. But canning, that's what canning is. It's putting food in a jar and heating it to a temperature that will kill the botulism, basically.
That is so interesting because I always thought you heated it up like you boiled the water to suction the lid on top.
Both. But it's mostly to kill the organisms. Yeah.
So fascinating.
So it's something you have to realize when you buy canned food at the store, too. It is cooked in the can.
Right.
So when you buy canned vegetables, they are cooked. Just FYI. You're not ever going to get raw asparagus in a can.
I don't think I'd want that.
No. Yeah. Well, but I mean, it, you know.
Yeah, no, I get it.
When you buy fresh vegetables, when we say fresh versus canned, canning even does things to chemically, you know, the heating process does things chemically to food that can change their nutritive values.
Yeah.
So freezing is actually a way to maintain the nutrition more than canning is. But for instance, canned peaches are actually higher in iron for some reason than fresh peaches. So that's something to be aware of. When you're, you know, look at the labels and see, but be aware that canning does change the nutrition value of your foods.
Yeah, and that's what I've always heard. It's like canned vegetables are way better than like no vegetables.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I mean, they still tend to have like the fiber content and other, you know, vitamins and things. So yeah,
yeah.
Canned is fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Also. A lot of time, something that may be easier than other things is canning like jams or jellies because you cook those on the stove and then put them in the jar, you know, so that's something to consider as well. So that's part of canning too, but they also have sugar in them, which can be a preservative. You know, salt is also a preservative. So those are things to consider as well. But with plain old canning, this article from Clemson University got, it's so in-depth, I highly recommend looking at it, but there's three safe canning methods, and they're very, very particular about things being safe.
Yeah.
Okay, so the three are the boiling water bath, atmospheric steam canning, and pressure canning.
Okay.
And I'm going to get into each of those just a little bit. So with a boiling water bath, which is good for fruit, tomatoes, pickles, jams, jellies, preserves, you cover the jars completely with boiling water. If it's a low acid food, so that's a pH of 4.6 or higher, because the pH scale is more acidic as it goes lower.
Yeah.
You have to add acid, lemon juice, citric acid, to make sure you can kill the botulism.
Oh.
Yeah. Because
okay.
High acid foods, the acidity will take over and kill the botulism as well as the heat.
Oh.
Yeah. But again, that heat also creates a seal. Mm-hmm. Which keeps air from getting in, which is another reason that food spoils. Atmospheric steam canning is for naturally acidic foods, again, like fruit, preserves, pickles. You take the prepared jars and put them on a rack above a bath of boiling water, so it's not in the water itself.
Okay.
And the steam then treats the jars.
Oh.
And it wasn't until very recently that they proved that this was a hygienic way to do it. So people had a lot of skepticism about it, but now it's been proven if you do it correctly, it's right.
I was going to say the only way I've seen it done is the boiling directly in the water.
And
like
I think
my grandma has the huge
pan.
Pan, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the easiest, most traditional way to do it.
Okay.
Because with an atmospheric steam canner, you need a specific machine. It looks like a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
Okay. So it uses less water than a boiling water bath, which we like. It also reaches temperatures quicker and requires less energy because of that. So if you're really going to go pro, but again, we'll get into like you have to buy the equipment. So
right.
Pressure canning is the only safe method for low acid foods. So that's anything with a pH of 4.6 or above. I don't know if you're going to pH test all of your food, but generally that's vegetables, meats, poultry, and seafood.
Okay.
So if you're canning your own meat, you have to use pressure canning.
Okay.
So you take the jars that are full of food, you put them in 2 to 3 inches of water in a pressure canner that's then heated to a temp of at least 240 degrees Fahrenheit, which is really high. And that's only possible in a pressure canner because boiling water won't, you know, boiling water evaporates.
Yeah.
At, you know, the boiling point. So you can't get above, is it 200 degrees Fahrenheit where it boils? 220. You know, I never knew because I grew up at a high altitude.
And water so boils. Wrong.
Yeah, but water boils at a different temperature at high altitude, which is another thing.
212.
212. There we go. 212. So, yeah. That's
and
why.
So, is this pressure thing? Is that like a specific machine?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing you have to consider when you talk about canning is prep. There's a lot of prep. You have got to wash your food very thoroughly. You don't want to soak it because that makes it lose its nutrients, but you want to get it as clean as possible because the dirt and the soil is where some of the hardest bacteria to kill live.
Okay.
So you want to rid it as much gunk as you can, but then also make sure that you're using whole food, not decaying, damaged, or overripe fruit or vegetables because they will go bad. Hmm. So you need to check all of your fruit and vegetables to make sure that they're basically perfect.
Okay. Interesting.
Then you got to prepare the jars and the lids. So they need to be sterilized, but you also need to make sure that they're in good condition. So no nicks, cracks, rough edges, rust on the lids. All of that is important to get rid of because it makes it impossible to create an airtight seal.
Okay.
So you can wash your jars in the dishwasher or put them in a water bath that you're going to use that'll sterilize them in the boiling water. They have to also be kept hot during the canning process so that you don't break them when you pour hot food into them.
Right? Okay. Yeah.
So they need to be boiled for at least 10 minutes to sterilize them. If you're above 1,000 feet in altitude, you add an extra minute of boil time for every 1,000 feet higher in elevation you go.
Wow.
So in Albuquerque, you're 5,000 feet above, you would probably want to boil them for at least 16 minutes to sterilize them. And that's because, again, the boiling point of water is lower at higher altitudes. So.
Okay.
And then there's two types of packing. There's raw pack or hot pack. So with a raw pack, you put the unheated food directly in the jar and then cover it with hot water, juice, or syrup.
Okay.
And then put the lid on and boil it.
Okay, right? Gotcha.
For hot packing, you heat the food to boiling and then pack it in with boiling liquid in the jar.
Okay.
Now, the other thing they say is that you have to be careful about making sure that the food is all the way to the top. It will shrink as it gets heated, and that's where air can get in and cause botulism or other bacterial issues. So.
Okay.
There's a bunch of recipes for each type of food. So and Clemson University had a lot of them, but you need to look up the recipe and make sure you follow it to a T to make sure that you're packing your specific food correctly.
Okay.
You need to test the lid for a proper seal. You want to make sure you label the jars. And then you got to store them in a clean, cool, dark, dry place. Mm-hmm. A cellar, for instance, which yeah. I don't have. But so the Clemson site and the CDC site both have a lot of info on how to can. It's very extensive. So I think that was a really basic overview, and I definitely didn't cover all the points, but it's a lot of research to know
That's
what you're doing.
A lot.
Yes. And, you know, again, if you do it wrong, you just have botulism.
What does that do to you?
You know what? I'm going to look it up real quick.
Sounds like such an ancient disease.
Yeah, well, it's a bacteria, right? Well, I know that much. And you even canned foods in the grocery store can have botulism. You can tell if the lid of the can is deformed or if there's any bulges.
Okay.
Throw it out.
Yeah.
So it's a rare poisoning caused by toxins. We love the word toxins. Produced by Clostridium botulinum bacteria. It can be fatal and requires emergency medical care. It can be spread in food, infect a wound. It can be spread through contaminated food or ground or water. Symptoms include difficulty swallowing or speaking, facial weakness, and paralysis.
Oh, my God.
So it's a pretty serious. I mean, you get an antitoxin injection and breathing assistance when you have botulism. So it's not even just like a round of antibiotics. It's
That's
like a,
insane.
Yeah. So not something you want to introduce into your household.
Right.
Okay. Now, that's what canning is.
Everyone's excited.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
All right. So the next question is, what eco-friendly claims does canning make?
Yeah.
And are they true? So because this is a home DIY method, there's not, again, like a single company saying canning is good for, except, of course, Jar Store and mm-hmm. Mason Bell Jars are both like, home canning's great.
Yeah.
But when you get into like influencers and others, they say canning at home has a couple of eco-friendly properties. So, for instance, canning at home reduces your carbon footprint by reducing your need for excessive packaging, which foods come in. So mm-hmm. if you're canning food at home, you've only got the jar and you're not getting a bunch of plastic and throwing it away, right? If you're mm-hmm. growing it at home, I should mm-hmm. say. You can also can foods that you buy at the store. You know, but if you're growing the food at this, I'm talking about home vegetable gardening and home canning.
Yeah.
It also reduces the waste associated with store-bought canned goods. You know, beyond just excessive packaging, it's also just cans in general. You're going to reuse those jars probably.
Yeah. For years.
Yeah. Hopefully. It helps support local farmers like yourself. And reduces the need for industrial farm food. Now, we went into, in our food waste episode a couple seasons ago, about why industrial farming is, like, a big waster of food. And also how, you know, there were two major things that consumers do that really add to an ecological impact. And that's, you know, fast fashion, our clothing choices, but then wasting food. And if you can cut down on either of those, you're already going to have probably be making a really good impact on your carbon footprint, right? So mm-hmm. if you can reduce how much industrial farm food you're using, you're going to be making an impact. And I
saw that referred to as a carbon shadow. I'm trying to remember
why. Oh, yeah,
why.
Yeah.
Because there's this whole, like, carbon footprint. There's, like, pushback against that term.
Yeah. Right, because it's not... Like, if you're not directly doing the bad thing, right? You're not directly causing the impact, but it's through other choices you make. It's a carbon shadow. Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I found that really interesting. Anyway. Yeah.
So another way that it cuts down on food waste is it allows you to eat food when it's out of season. So that's one of the joys of modern life is that it's not just harvest and then you eat it and then it's gone and you never see it again. So you can also do that by buying canned food at the grocery store. Like asparagus is a spring vegetable, but you can eat it whenever you want, you know?
Yeah.
Also, canning food takes 6 to 15 times less energy than freezing it.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I found that pretty interesting.
Believe it.
Yeah. If you do it in bulk, the average cost per jar of food is anywhere from 5 to 25 cents. That's including like your energy costs, probably your startup costs, which I'll get into. And if you reuse containers, of course, you know that it's the cost all occurs kind of at the beginning, and then going forward, like, basically just costs you time.
Right. That. Yeah.
And then, of course, you're going to waste less of the food that you've grown. You may also, well, unless you mess up and you have to throw it out and you can't eat it. But you may also, you know, enjoy it enough that you start canning the food that you have, you know, that you buy at the grocery store. Even if you're not growing it yourself, you can can food yourself. If you're like, shoot, we're never going to eat this asparagus. Quick, can it, you know. But again, for it to make sense, you really want to do large batches. So
right.
More than one jar at a time.
Yeah, that would be a little nuts to do all of that for one jar.
Yeah. So I think right now we're going to take a break, and then I will get into, is this something a normal person can do?
All right, awesome.
Okay, so something that Tiffany alluded to a little bit ago that we talked about in our last episode about pots, and we're talking about actually some blowback we got about how planting trees was easy for everyone, and we were arguing that it wasn't. Time and head space, right? Time and thought availability are the two most precious resources
in this day and age, absolutely.
That we have. And canning takes a lot of time and head resources. I'm just, you know, maybe you get into a rhythm of it, but especially when you're first starting out, that's the biggest cost, is how much time it's going to take you to do the research to find the right recipe, and how much thinking so that you don't kill your family with botulism.
Yes. I was thinking, like, I wish my grandma had, like, taught me growing up, but...
Yeah, I'm sure she has recipes that she's used tried and true forever.
Probably.
But it also, you know, you got to take other variables into consideration, like the food, how much processing time that food takes, and which method you're using. So some take less time than others, but that's all got to be personalized and tailored to you. I can't make that recommendation or decision for you. If you want to go into canning, you're going to have to do all that research.
Yeah.
Also, you'll most likely be canning during the hottest months of the year, because that's when we harvest food that we grow in our gardens.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to boil stuff. I mean, it's not, like, super fun, you know, to be over a hot stove. And it affects your air conditioning bill, you know, and your health. So do those calculations.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, anytime I love to bake, and anytime I bake in, like, July, I hate myself.
No.
I'm like, what was I thinking?
July is for non-baked cheesecake. That is when
it needs to be like, freezer-friendly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
One of these articles noted that a family who started canning noticed that their electric bill only went up by $20 a month when boiling everything and using the air conditioner. It's not nothing. $20 a month is not nothing. But
yeah, that's actually kind of a lot. I mean, all things considered.
But it's still not $200 a month, you know.
Right. In groceries, yeah.
Yeah. So then there's the cost of the equipment.
Mm.
And that depends on how frou-frou you want to get. You can get, like, a cheap kit for $20 on Amazon with, like, the tongs and all of the utensils and a thermometer, I think. Then you have to have your own pot that's big enough for it. You need, like, a wide flat pot. So, just a quick glance at Amazon, it looks like you could get stuff anywhere from $75 to $150.
Okay.
For,
and you,
like,
could maybe find it on, would it be okay to find it on, like, used?
Yeah, because it's just boiled water.
Yeah.
And then, that's a one-time purchase spread out, and generally the equipment will last you 15 to 20 years, which is considering. Yeah. And then mason jars, you can buy new online in bulk anywhere. I found $1 per mason jar to like $4.50 per jar, depending on the size. Again, you're going to want to consider what size you want. Like, you could get the little teeny ones, or you could get the 32-ouncers, you know. And you can reuse these as long as you make sure the lids are okay. You might have to buy new lids over time.
Lids are pretty cheap.
Yeah,
so.
They're cheap. They're a couple cents, I think. But also make sure that they're well kept. You have to take care of them so they can't be chipped or broken or, you know.
And store
safety.
Them.
And
that's
yes.
one big thing. Like, I'm like,
that's the big thing for me. Storage. You need a cool, dark, dry place to store your jars. My pantry heats up. I don't know if I'd trust a jar of something I had personally canned. You know, it's fine. It's not going to... You want it between 50 and 75 degrees. My pantry probably gets up to 80 in the summer sometimes.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, storage. I mean, especially if it only makes sense to do it in bulk, I don't have room for 30 jars of anything in my house.
Yeah, exactly.
Like...
My pantry is so small.
I would have to build another shed to store all of my canned goods. So that's something to consider.
Right.
Okay. So our next question that we've been asking this season is, does the Earth-friendly message need to come back to Earth? And I'm going to say a little bit.
Mm.
A lot of these blogs that I was reading and these sources were like, home canning is perfect. It's easy. It's wonderful. It saves so much money and you should be doing it. And I was like, yeah, okay. Let me quit all of my other jobs. Like one of the Melissa K. Norris says she just in the summer, she gets up an hour early and does a batch of canning an hour early in the morning. And I'm like, I have trouble getting up at 8 a.m. So good. I'm glad she's disciplined and, you know, but like
right. For the rest of us.
Yeah. Please. Maybe in 10 years when I've outgrown whatever teenage phase I'm going through right now and I have to sleep in, I'll be able to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and do shit again. But right now that's like my 10 hours of sleep a night is precious to me. So I'm not going to start canning anytime soon.
Right.
So there's a reason this is the domain of homesteaders and doomsday preppers, right? It's time consuming. There's an upfront cost. If you're mm-hmm. worried about affording a $30 diabetes prescription, you're not going to be like, yeah, let's get $150 worth of canning equipment and $400 worth of mason jars. That's not going to save you. Like, you can get a can of beans for 65 cents or $1.15, whatever it is now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think over time, it would save a lot of money. If you can use that for like 15 or 20 years.
Yeah.
But you're totally right about the time and the energy, because it's one of those things where it's like, you can bake your own bread. You mm-hmm. Instead of buying a $6 loaf, I was like, are you crazy?
Yeah, I know.
You can, you know, can your own food. You can grow your own vegetables. You can DIY your own construction around your house. But you can't do all of those things. You can, like, pick one.
Yeah. And have a social life. Right.
And not work.
And have a job. Yeah. I mean, if you're independently wealthy and you've got nothing else. And you know, to some extent, like, it is better for the environment. It is better for your health and something, as long as you don't get botulism. Like, they are good. But it's so much easier for me to just buy a can of beans when I need it than to grow my own food. And, you know, something has to be said for convenience in this modern life. And right now, I do not have the bandwidth to think about canning tomatoes in August. Like, right. I'm just going to give them to my coworkers. That's just what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to get a caprese salad every day of the week for 3 months. And that, you know. And maybe I'll change my tune when my roommate grows way too many tomatoes this year, but I don't know.
Yeah. I'm really intrigued by it. Honestly, because I've seen my family members do it. And if
you
I would be like really nervous about it.
I think one of the things these blogs were trying to do was get rid of the intimidation factor. It's not impossible. You know, even since the Industrial Revolution, before, you know, modern canning really took off after World War II.
Right.
People canned at home. You grew mm-hmm. vegetables and you canned at home. And, you know, some people died of botulism every year, but not everyone. So
not everyone.
It's not. It doesn't have to be high tech, you know.
Yeah.
It is something that you can probably do if you have the time and you're willing to do the research.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not like there's not really gatekeeping around canning, I would say.
Yeah. So. No, I get that. Yeah, that is really interesting. My biggest thing would be the storage, I think, because I don't have. Basement is such a god dang mess right now. It's like, I don't need another project. A project.
Yes.
I don't need another project.
Yes.
That is what that would be.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It would be interesting, like, sometime this summer, You're going to look and there's just going to be shelves of cans behind me. Like, I got into canning.
Stored in your closet.
Or like Sean gets into canning. I'm like, Sean got into canning. Here you go.
You're like, damn it.
There's the asparagus. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, canned tomatoes are divine.
They are. I make so much spaghetti sauce. Oh my God. So much. So
good.
Yeah. And you know what also, another thing they're saying is that it makes great Christmas gifts. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you have your own jams or jellies. A friend gave me homemade raspberry jam for Christmas, and I was like, I'm going to be having toast and jam every morning for the next 3 months, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
There's something really nice about that. And so, yeah, you can give people canned peaches, and
so they don't necessarily
have to store them. As long as you're fine with you're not getting that jar back, so.
That's true. Yeah, that would increase the cost for sure.
Yeah. But still cheaper than a Christmas present.
Yeah.
Here's definitely a $50 Amazon card or homemade canned peaches with no botulism.
Sans botch.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere to tell? Do you have any idea? Like, if you open something, can you be like, it smells weird or it looks weird, or you're just going to eat it and be like, oopsies?
I think so. Okay. Let's look at the USDA's. So that was one thing. The USDA said, how long can you keep canned foods? That's another thing.
Yeah.
You can it at home. They recommend a year. So you need to use it within a year. It's not a forever thing.
Okay. And store-bought stuff's longer, I think.
Yeah, it's a couple years.
Yeah.
Again, it's just if air gets in.
Okay.
So never use food from containers that show possible botulism warnings, which include leaking, bulging, bad dents, cracked jars, jars with loose or bulging lids, canned food with a foul or odor, or any container that spurts liquid when you open it. If you open it and it goes, throw it away.
Oh, God.
So even the smallest amount of botulism can be deadly.
Wow.
Also to note, can linings might discolor or corrode when metal reacts with high acid foods such as tomatoes or pineapple. As long as the can is in good shape, even if the interior is kind of corroded, the contents should be safe to eat, although the taste, texture, and nutritional value of the food can diminish over time.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So again, they reiterate home canned foods should be used within 1 year.
Okay.
Yep.
1 year. Yeah. So that's like, I think my dad even cans, like a lot of people I know can, but a lot of green beans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think green beans are pretty easy because there's high water content and they maintain their character. You know, I love canned green beans. It's one of my favorite things.
French-style green beans from a can are delicious.
I love them.
With a little butter?
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah.
Actually, Charlie would eat those, so I should try that with her.
There you go.
She's not a veggie fan right these days.
But... yet.
She was, and then she turned into a toddler.
Yeah, so nothing's good. Everything sucks. Mm-hmm. Well, our next aspect of this podcast... we end it with our granola rating.
The grand finale.
Mm-hmm. So we rate every product, service, whatever we talk about on a rating of 1 to 5 granolas for how much green hooey the marketing has in it, or how easy it is to do, how affordable it is, etc. So our question is, how crunchy are their claims, really? And 1 is a soggy, 2 is a mushy, 3 is a chewy, 4 is a crunchy, 5 is a break your tooth off. We want the crunchier the better. Sorry, Eric. I know you have a contention with that. He likes his granola soggy.
Ew.
I know.
Oh, although I will say I love soggy cereal, and Joey always thinks that's disgusting. So maybe I'm even on board with that, but we're going to pretend for this
one. Okay, you want crunchy granola. For the sake of this rating, you want crunchy granola. So I gave this a 3.5, which is between a chewy and a crunchy.
Okay. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And again, it was because the startup costs, not everyone can do that. The time and effort. I do think it saves you money in the long run. And I do think it's, you know, growing your own food at home is better for the environment. And, you know, all those other claims we talked about in vegetable gardening 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Keeping the food, you know, reducing waste should be a goal.
Yeah.
So I do want it to be kind of crunchy, but at the same time, like, you got to have time. You got to have time for a project, like you were saying. So
and
that's
space.
Why I gave it. And space. Yeah, the space for storage. It's not just like a quick change you can make to your life and, you know, reduce your carbon footprint and your life won't be magically better immediately. You know, it takes time. So I'm giving it a 3.5 out of 5.
Okay. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. It's probably easier. It's probably one of those things that's like once you get started, it's easier than it seems.
Right. And a muscle memory.
Yes. Yes.
And I definitely don't want to discourage anyone who has wanted to try it from doing yeah. it. I think it could be a cool home project. Again, if you're willing to get up an hour early or stay up an hour late, you know, again, right. you've got to do it in batch, like a big batch. It's not going to be worth it to just do one can at a time.
Yeah.
And if you have the space for it, you know, I think it's a great idea and it sounds really cool. I don't think it's like going to solve all the world's problems, but it's
right.
You know, it also might be worth learning for when the apocalypse happens.
You know? Maybe. You never
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
You're probably also salty because you were reading like a bunch of Tradwife blogs.
I wasn't. No. Okay. You know, most of these are pretty official.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. I steered clear of. And I, you know.
Because that's.
I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. Yeah. We should talk about that on our side. Our side
totally.
Speech
we
that we
totally
do.
Should. Which, by the way, we need to like actually figure this Patreon thing out. That can be yeah. our
teaser.
Promise.
Spoiler
promise
alert.
For next. Yeah. Because we mentioned it like a couple weeks ago, but
yeah.
this is our promise. As of next episode, we will have figured it out.
Yep. We have Patreon. We're trying to give you an opportunity to pay us for this if you'd like, but mostly to get extra
support
content
yeah.
and possibly. Goodies, if we have them. We haven't figured mm-hmm. out what those goodies will be, but if you want to throw a dollar our way once a month or $5, we'll give you yeah. some deeper insight into our opinions on Tradwives
oh,
and
love
marketing
it.
And Ozempic. We're going to talk about Ozempic too. So
oh yeah, that's so interesting, the whole yeah. Tradwife thing. Oh my god, it's like I've been watching other YouTubers talk about Tradwives
yeah
and it's so something I didn't think about was that yeah. they are marketing themselves as something they are not even doing themselves because they have jobs.
Yeah.
They're making an income on being Tradwife influencers.
Yeah.
And yet they're telling people not to make an income. And I'm just like,
yeah. Okay. How does the snake eat its own tail? Yeah.
Yes. It's so
it's fascinating.
Interesting.
Yeah. Do as I say, not as I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can chat about that more
yeah.
when we have our
launch our Patreon.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome.
Alrighty. Cool. Well, now we
you can start the music.
Oh, right. But I need to figure out what we're doing next week first.
Oh, next week. I can tell you. You're doing bee hotels and pollinators.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
My friend I'm really just pumped about that one because yeah. I found some really interesting stuff. And I asked my cousin some stuff because I'm like, do you know about bees?
Oh, that's cool.
Like, yes.
I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's going to be cool.
Well, in the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram at Greening Up My Act and possibly see pictures of maybe I'll find cans of botulism to show. We'll see.
Perfect.
Yes. Everybody's favorite meal.
Yum. All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.